take a seat. Awesome worship. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Thank you so much. That was good worship. You know, I was so glad that Jatim went to Psalms 23 because I'm going to Psalms 91. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Psalms 91. You know, Psalms 91 is probably one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible about God's protection. Amen? But above his protection, it's actually more about our relationship with him. So if you have your Bibles, let's start at chapter 1, and it says this: He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That word dwell means to sit down, remain, abide. It paints the picture of someone who has settled down and made themselves at home. You know, when we abide in him, we sit at his feet. Amen? Too many times we get so busy with the external things. Things in life just starts coming in so fast. And we generally don't take that time just to sit and abide in him. Amen? The secret place is a private place to meet with God. It's the place where distractions are pushed aside and your attention is fixed on him. Amen? Every single one of us needs a secret place. Where's your secret place? Too many times we don't make that time to abide in a secret place. You know, when Darren was alive, he and I had a secret place, and it was on our couch. And that's where we would sit, and we would visit, and we would communicate, and we would talk. It was a place where we would abide, where we would have fellowship. Amen? Where do you go to abide with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? You need to make that special spot. Because if you don't, we need to do things on purpose. It needs to be intentional. Amen? Because if you don't do things with intention, it doesn't get done. I hate the laundry. I hate it. It's from hell. That's what they're going to do in hell, you guys. They are going to fold laundry for eternity. And mama, there's always going to be a missing sock. Amen? I hate it. But if I don't intentionally take that time to say and put it on my couch, because that's what I have to do. I got to put it on my couch because I do not like clutter. I have to put it on my couch and for it to get done. I have to do something intentional. That is the same way when it comes to abiding in his presence. We've got to do things intentionally. Intentionally. You know, it's about doing it by yourself and getting in that fellowship with him. Amen? But it's also about, like Jatim said, doing it corporately with the body of Christ. Jesus went away and he would pray by himself. He made that time, that secret place. But he also made that time for him and the disciples to come together so they could pray together. Amen? So it's about being intentional, abiding in him, taking that time corporately and individually to worship at his feet. Amen? You know, we have got to be intentional about going before God. Jeremiah gives us this promise. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13. Write this down. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13. Then, when you will call upon me, go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. There's a progression here. You call, Father. When we call out to God, Father, He hears us. Amen? We pray. We are intentional about that communication with Him. We seek Him. We seek Him out in His Word. We're quiet. We're still before Him. And then He says, then you will find me. Amen? Are you guys seeing this? This isn't something that might happen. This is a promise that God makes to us that will happen. When we seek Him out, you will find Him. God never hides Himself from anyone. The secret place isn't because God's hiding from us. It's secret because so few people choose to enter in. Let me say that again. It's a secret place because so few people choose to enter in. There's no condemnation. I am not the Holy Spirit, but I want to show you something. Monday nights, every other Monday, we meet here corporately for prayer. It's a time for us to come together, pray for each other, pray for our community. Amen? On Monday, there were 6 people here. Thursday, we had prayer, again, corporate prayer, praying for our families, praying for this community, praying for one another, praying, just seeking God's face, praying that God would meet people in the water, that bondages would be broken. How many people were here? 3. Today, Sunday, we meet downstairs. Again, I am trying to show something here. That we need to be intentional. Intentional. Amen? It's secret because so few people choose to enter in. We live in a noisy world filled with distractions. But God says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Amen? Then the verse continues to say this, the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place of what? The Most High. This reminds us that God is above everything we face. There is no situation, there is no circumstance that God is not above. Amen? Amen. He is above every sickness, every financial need, every family problem, every fear, every disappointment, and every attack of the enemy. There is nothing in your life that is higher than the Most High. Nothing. He is the Most High. The Most High. Amen? Then David goes on to say, we shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, when in the Bible, there a lot of times they give us the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? Well, let me show you something. In the desert of Israel, shade wasn't a luxury. Remember last week when we were having 90-degree weather here? It's like, I'm going in the house. I'm finding me a shade tree, right? We can do it so easily. We can go in the house. We can get cooled down. But in Israel, it wasn't just a luxury. It was the difference between life and death. Amen? The shadow represents God's protection, His presence. When life's trials become overwhelming, those who dwell with Him discover the safety of His shadow. Amen? Then it says, oh wait, sorry, Almighty, the title. Let's go to this title, the title Almighty. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Almighty, that is a title. It means El Shaddai. Say that, El Shaddai. It means all-powerful. It means all-sufficient one. Whatever you need, God has the supply. And I think that most of us know that God is our supply. Amen? How many in here would say that God is your supply? Amen. Every hand goes up. So many times we believe that God has the supply, but so often we don't realize that God has my supply, your supply. We don't see it and internalize it as being personal. We see it, oh, that was David, right? Or we see, oh, that was Kathy. But we don't internalize it as being my supply. God is my supply. Not someone else's. My job isn't my supply. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
The world isn't my supply. Who is your supply? Is it God or is it the outside things? Amen? Amen. Then David says this in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and He is my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. David says, I will say. He spoke it out of his mouth. He was proclaiming, I will say. What did he say? My God. You know, when we speak the word, it really reveals what we believe in our hearts. What you believe in your heart, you will speak. Why? Because it comes up and out of you. You get with somebody long enough, you really know how they're doing. Give them 15, 20 minutes. You know, when I sit down with people and I counsel, I generally know how they're doing. How are you doing, Deb? Oh, I'm fine. Well, then we start talking a little bit, and then what happens? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, it says. Amen? So what we do is when we start proclaiming about my God, what are we doing? We're putting faith into what the word says. God is my God. Amen? Then it says, God is not just someone, oh, he says he is our refuge and our fortress. A refuge is a shelter from a storm. My house, when I go into my house, that's my refuge. It gets really windy up on Mead Hill, really windy, right? Joanne stayed there while I was gone on vacation. And she had to put all the pillows up on the deck. Why? Because it was blowing pillows all over the place. It gets windy. When I go into my house, I don't even realize that the wind's blowing. Why? It's my refuge. David said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Are you saying that God is your protection? He is your refuge. And then it says, and my fortress. What's a fortress? A fortress is my refuge. And then it was so funny when I was thinking of this. I was thinking of our men in men's meetings. And I saw them protecting my house. That's what a fortress is. It's been reinforced with men or with strength, right? I think of also a castle. Castle has tall, high walls. And it's hard to, there's a moat a lot of times. Why? Because they're making it a fortress, something that's hard to break through. God is my refuge and my fortress. Of all the things that come against you, all hell will come against you. Is God your refuge? Do you go in and seek Him when things get rough? Is He your fortress? Is He the one that keeps everything out? Do you proclaim that? Or do you start speaking to the situations and the circumstances of life? Too many times, again, at what comes out of your mouth comes out of your heart. Are we speaking, I'll never make it. Well, I'm doomed, I'll never make it. Or are we speaking the truth of what the Word says? My God is my refuge. My God is my fortress. In Him I will trust. Amen? Come on, somebody. It says, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the perilous pestilence. You know, I had to look up what a snare of the fowler even meant. What's a snare of a fowler, right? Well, in ancient times, they used to catch birds. We shoot them. We don't put traps up and nets. But in the ancient times, they would actually use concealed nets and baited traps for birds. Satan sets snares and traps for every single one of us. He rarely attacks openly. He lays traps and concealed nets, just hoping we'll walk right into them without realizing it. Amen? Yeah. For instance, let me give you for instance. One of the greatest fears or greatest traps is fear. Fear has been described as false evidence appearing real. Right? And we hear that and we know that. So many times fear keeps us back from the things that God has for us. When God says, go and minister to this person, fear says, no way. What are they going to think if I go up and hug on them? He sets traps for us. Amen? Another fear that Satan sets for us, it's the trap of offense. Offense is one of the biggest traps, you guys. Over and over and over in His Word, God tells us over and over and over to forgive. Over and over. The word offense means scandalon. It's a trigger stick in an animal trap where the bait is attached. When a person sets a box trap, they have a bait stick, and on that stick is a piece of bait, right? I know it's pretty self-evident, but it has a stick on it with a piece of bait, and the animals run in and they grab that whatever's on there, meat, whatever it might be, and they trigger that stick, and then what happens? They're snared. And that's what scandalon is. It is when we get trapped by Satan. Bitterness, unforgiveness. Those things are absolutely snares that will trap us. And we have got to be absolutely aware of this. Amen? But God says He will deliver us from these things. We have got to be aware. We have got to run to Him. He is our shelter. Amen? Refuge. And when we go in to Him, that is when we find freedom. Amen? Amen? What about the trap of complacency? Oh, I'm telling you right now, so many of us get trapped up in complacency. We're going along. How many of you are people that make lists and check them off? Not... that, for real. Come on, let me see your hands. Yep. I read my Bible. I check it off. I prayed 15 minutes. Check it off. Went to church on Sunday morning. Check it off. Right? We think that we're doing all the right things, but we become complacent. It's a snare and it's a trap. Why? Because we're not seeking the very presence of the Almighty God. We have a checklist and we just keep checking it off, thinking that what we're doing is good. And it is good. But complacency sets in and tells us you're doing all right, when really you're not seeking the face of God, the presence of God. You're just seeking to get things done. Like it's a grocery list or it's a list to clean your house. Amen? Then David talks about perilous pestilence. That God, he shall surely deliver you from the snare of the fowler. He will deliver us from fear. Amen? He will deliver us from offense. He will deliver us from complacency. And he will deliver us from perilous pestilence. And what are perilous pestilence? They're deadly attacks. It was like the bubonic plague. It was like COVID-19 that spread, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual, the promise still remains. God delivers his people. Amen? Amen. Then he says this, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. That word means to surround, hedge in, or a fence around for protection. Amen? It's like a hedge around your yard. God's protection surrounds those who trust in him. David says we take refuge under his wings. And you know, in Matthew 23:37, Jesus said the same thing. He compared himself to a hen who gathers her chicks. I was raised on a farm. My dad had 300 roosters. 300. And they were tied up. And then, I don't even know how many hens and chicks he had. But when those hens would be running around with all those little baby chicks, how many of you have chickens? How many of you have ever had chicks? That's awesome. You know how they get. They spread their wings out, way out, and every single one of those chicks go under, and she calls for them. Have you noticed that? She calls for them, and they come running. They come running, and she just covers them, right? That's exactly what Jesus did at the cross. Amen? God's protection is available, but we must choose to dwell and come close to him. Pride says, I got this. Faith says, Lord, I need you. And we run to him, just like a chick runs to the mother. Amen? Amen. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. A shield was a complete covering. You know, you've seen those movies with Roman soldiers, and they have those great big, I mean, they're as tall as they are. It's a shield. And it was meant to be a defense against all kinds of long, like, arrows being thrown at them. And then they had a buckler, and that was what they would call those little tiny shields, where they would be hand on hand. So what is this saying? He will be your shield and your buckler. It means that God is your protection everywhere around you. He has got you covered. Amen?
Amen.
And what does he say? His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Truth is truth is his word. Amen? Truth will bring stability. It'll bring certainty. and it'll bring confidence. Jesus said this in John 17, 17. He said, sanctify them, Lord, by what? Your truth. Our shield is in our feelings. Too many times people want to go on how they feel. That is not your shield. Too many times people want to go on their emotions. But I feel like this. That is not your shield. We think it's a protective mechanism. It's not. Jesus is our shield. Jesus is our buckler. He is the word. He is truth. Amen? And I'm going to close here with verses 5 through 8. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your right side, or at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. David here lists every kind of danger imaginable. The terror by night, the arrows by day, pestilence in the dark, destruction at noonday. Whether danger comes secretly or openly, unexpectedly or in plain sight, God remains what? Our protector. This doesn't mean Christians pretend like things don't exist, because they do. Sometimes people want to put their head in the sand and say, it's not, you know, things that are happening aren't. But what does this mean? This means that we live under such a great, we live with Christ, you guys. Think about this. What the Israelites experienced during the first Passover. The angel of death was passing over them, right? Great judgment was coming to all of Egypt. Every home that was covered by the blood of the Lamb was protected. Today, we live under something even greater. We live under the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Our confidence is not in the lack, it's not in luck, it's not in chance. Our confidence is in the Lord God. Amen? Yeah. This week, I want you to go, we're going to continue up with this in Psalms, but I want you to go back, and I really want you to think about this. Are you making His presence your dwelling place? Is He your buckler, your shield? Amen? Are you making Him your refuge and your fortress? This really needs to be something that we're looking on the inside. We're internalizing. We need to see, where is God? Not in a checklist, but where is God in my life? Do I put Him first and foremost, or do I just check off a list of things that He has done? Amen? Amen. Let's go before the Father. Praise You, praise You, praise You. Oh, Lord. Father God, I just praise You. I thank You. I thank You so much that You want relationship with us. You say if we will seek You, we will find You. So, Lord, I just pray for every person in here that they will just examine their own hearts. They'll see where they are with You, Father God, that they will make that quiet place, that dwelling place that You meet with them. Oh, Father, I glorify You. I praise You for everything that You are doing in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thursday, be here, or Wednesday, be here for women's and men's meeting. They have been, it's just been an amazing time in the Word. They're doing great things. Amen? And then join us Thursday for prayer. You guys are amazing. I love you, and you are dismissed.